Oh, okay. There we go. Take two. Hello, everybody. Thank you for attending virtually and in person the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency regular board meeting of July 13th, 2022. This meeting, as I mentioned, is being recorded and is going to be Zoomed virtually. Quick public comment information before we call into session. There are two ways to do public comments virtually. One of them is to email at vinagsapublic.comments@chicoca.gov. The other is to verbally via Zoom application or by telephone. A member of the public may indicate their desire to speak by raising their hand at any time prior to the beginning of the comment section. Speakers will be called upon by the chair and unmuted by the meeting host. With that, we will go to item one, the call to order, which I did, and I'm sorry, 1.2, which is the roll call. Linda Herman.
Thank you. Board Member Cooper.
Here.
Board Member Kimmelshue.
Here.
Vice Chair Royer.
Here.
And Chair Chusinski.
Here.
Thank you.
And I've texted Board Member Reynolds. If we hear from her, fantastic. Item number two is the consent agenda. We have two items on the consent agenda. Item 2.1, adoption of a resolution renewing authorization to conduct teleconference meetings for both the Vina GSA board and stakeholder advisory committee meetings. And item 2.2, approval of the minutes of the June 8th, 2022 Vina GSA regular board meeting. Does anybody wish to pull an item off of the agenda?
Yeah, I'd like to pull 2.1.
Okay. We'll consider that separately. Are there any comments on either of the, I'm sorry, on item 2.2, are there any comments or corrections? Nope. Hearing none and seeing nothing online, I'll entertain a motion for item 2.2.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Great. We have a motion from Director Kimmelshue and a second from Vice Chair Royer. Linda, if you could call the voice call vote.
Sure. Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
And Chair Chusinski?
Aye. That's approved 4-0. We will go to the item pulled from consent, which is item 2.1.
Yeah, my question, and this is what I was talking about earlier, is this something that we have the power to not approve? Okay, it is we can say that we are going to meet in person and not have virtual meetings, right? Okay, so what constitutes a virtual meeting? Basically, if people want to make public comment, they have to be here in person.
They could also email it, but yes, it would not be online and be on Zoom if we did a non-virtual meeting, a hybrid. We're doing a hybrid now.
Okay.
But if we did just a straight board meeting, they could speak if they come down here, or they could email the Vina GSA public comments email ahead of the meeting or during the meeting. Actually, ahead of the meeting, actually.
So that's what I need to know. I am under the feeling that now that we are at less risk for COVID, that as you can see, the room is empty. We've got three board members that are not here. I would like to see us meet in person in the future. That's my point of view. So if there's a motion to approve this, I will vote no. And I just think that it's time we started meeting in person again.
With all due respect, and I respect you greatly, and I'm tipping my hand somewhat journalistically, I'm working on a story about COVID, and COVID numbers are in fact increasing. And the latest strain is much more transmissible. And so I'm not gonna sell my entire story because then nobody will bother reading it. But vaccines that we have are helping people recover quicker, but they are not actually preventing people from getting these current strains. And these strains are not, forgive me if I'm paraphrasing the immunologists incorrectly, but they are not actually building immunity for people who get them, particularly the BA.5. So that we are actually in a red zone in our county, and in fact, most of the country is in a red zone. So to a degree, it's an illusion that when we're walking around without masks on in public, we are actually in quite a COVID situation. So we are giving people who are exposed to COVID and have family members who are sick the ability to still participate in their meetings at home and not come in and sit right next to us and expose us potentially. So I still think it's prudent for us to have this option. We are still meeting in person. You and I are sitting next to each other. We have a few people in our audience, but we're giving people a chance to participate. In fact, a good number of them, and potentially people who are sick. So again, with all due respect, I'm gonna vote in favor of this because I think our situation still demands it. So I will actually make the motion to approve item 2.1.
I'll second.
Great, and I'm sorry, I cut off Christina before she got a chance to comment, so please.
Well, we got a second that we can have discussion.
Yeah, great.
So I think Vice Chair Royer seconded that.
Or was it?
I think it was Director Cooper, but yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's okay. I
apologize.
Yeah, no problem.
I can't see them. They're not here.
Yeah, exactly. I've got the little handy thing. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So
Christina,
please. I was just going to add, just for clarification, the virtual meeting is, you know, concerning the Brown Act. And so the resolution is specifically so that members of the body can participate virtually. A resolution would not be needed just to have kind of a hybrid option for public members. Correct?
Okay. Yeah. So in order, this, okay, well, yep. we'll tackle that maybe at the next meeting. At this point in time, go ahead. The motion, how I understand it, is to approve as the 2.1 as it's as stated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, that's my motion, yeah. And that was the second too, so great. So we have a motion and a second, and no further discussion among board members.
The only thing I would say understand that why Vice Chair Royer's not here, and I'm not sure why Raymond's not here, and that's beside the point. But we do have alternates. Each one of us has an alternate. So if for some reason we're not able to attend this meeting, so if we do go to a hybrid situation where the actual members of the body have to be here, but not necessarily the public, I can live with that. So those are my comments.
Great. Good, robust debate, which I appreciate I appreciate our board is able to do that, and we can do that civilly, which a lot of boards can't.
Good.
So I appreciate that we can do that.
Okay.
Linda, if we could have the roll call vote.
You do have someone who raised their hand. I don't know if you want to entertain that or not.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't see that on my screen.
It just happened.
So. Oh, great. Supervisor Lucero. Oh, yes, I see her on this screen. Supervisor Lucero, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I think having a hybrid situation allows for more public participation in these meetings, and particularly around water, which is very important. So if I'm understanding Supervisor Kimmelshue's comments, this is specifically about the board itself, according to Christina, but the public could still be excluded. Is that correct?
That would be my wish, yes.
You would like to exclude the public from participating virtually?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying I would like to have the members of the body be present or their alternates, but I am fine with the members of the public participating virtually.
Okay, thank you.
Sense?
That's what
Does that makes sense.
That's what I was trying to clarify. I was understanding the opposite.
No.
Great.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad we got the clarification. Perfect. And thank you, Christina, for the clarification. Okay, Linda.
Board Member Cooper.
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
No.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
And Chair Chusinski?
Aye. So that passes 3-1. We will go to item 4, which is business from the floor. Members of the public may address the board at this time on any matter not already listed on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. The board cannot take any action at this meeting on requests made under this section of the agenda. Do we have anyone who has business from the floor? I see none on the screen and I see none in the audience. So we will move on to the regular agenda. 6.1, discussion on the administration and management of the VINA Groundwater Sustainability Agency. Cami Loser.
Great, thank you, Chair Tuchinski, members of the board, Cami Loser from the Department of Water and Resource Conservation. So what you have before you is just a review regarding the administration and management of the GSA. And on June 28th, the Butte County Board of Supervisors approved the Department of Water and Resource Conservation's recommended budget for the 2022-23 fiscal year. And included in the department's budget, which I mentioned, I think, at our last meeting that we were doing this, was a request for an additional $272,966 that could be used by the department to help administer the GSA for the next 12 months. And that budget request focused on general administration of the GSA, including various meetings, the VINA board meetings, SHAC meetings, and management committee meetings, as well as the implementation of three critical tasks, which essentially would serve as our work plan for the next year. And those three tasks include the SGMA grant applications that Christina's gonna talk about a little later, preparation of the annual reports that are due in April of next year, and then long-term financing and getting a consultant on board to help with that. In addition, the department's budget request also included the previously requested $8,000 for litigation costs for the 2021-22 fiscal year. So what you, in the transmittal here, you see the kind of the budget, how it breaks down, how we broke it down for the Board of Supervisors to review. The board had asked that we demonstrate or show some in-kind services or costs that the department just based on our activities, and so we calculated that out. We also requested some money for to hire some extra help. And then we also identified some consultant services that would be needed to focus on the three tasks that I mentioned above, including either professional services or engineering consulting services, as well as being able to continue with some legal services separate from the litigation, as well as some basic office expenses for the GSA. So that's what this table shows, which is different than the budget that you'll be approving on the next item. And that's all I have to report, if there's any questions.
Any questions from board members? I just have one quick question. It's probably just because this table has, you know, is appended from another document. For outside legal services and litigation, there's that little asterisk one. Oh. Is that because that's outside the scope, and is, yes, there anything, is that reference to that 8,000 that you're talking about, or?
No, so what, yes, that little one next to that was, it said at the bottom that it did not include the litigation, potential litigation costs for the 2022-2023 fiscal year. So in the event that if there is additional expenses associated with legal fees outside of just regular daily legal services that Valerie would be providing, those costs would not be included in this budget. So we would have to address that issue later on, and hopefully we won't have too much to do with litigation, but we'll find out in a week or so, right? So it doesn't include covering those costs.
Great, thank you for the clarification. Are there any comments from the public? I am seeing none. Linda, are you seeing any? Seeing none in the building, okay. This was just an informational item, correct? You need no action from us on this?
Correct.
Great, then we will move to item 6.2, approval of the 2022-2023 VINA GSA budget. And again, Cami.
All right, thank you. So what this is the budget for the next fiscal year for 2022-2023. What we did is broke it down to expenditures, revenue, and then showing the in-kind contribution, as well as the budget that that the department will have to spend for administering the GSA. The expenditure, the first box there is base, it's $15,000, which is will be covered by the member agency contributions. And we used the previous year's budgets for allocating those costs. So those are what we have paid in previous years, with the exception of legal services, obviously, using the member agency contributions. Then the second box there is just the revenue showing the member agency contributions that we have, as well as interest. And then the third box there is the staff time in-kind contributions, as well as you'll see a column there that says consultant costs, which is the budget from the previous table for just consultants. Fees. The staff time there and includes office expenses and the calculated kind of in-kind costs to each of the member agencies, the city, Butte, and Durham Irrigation District, just to give an idea of the time that each agency is contributing to the GSA. And in the notes column, it kind of refers to the work plan tasks, which in the previous table, it talks about what tasks those are. So for instance, task one is focusing on general GSA administration, and then task two is our meetings and things like that. So, and this is the budget that we would have you approve for this next fiscal year.
Great. Any questions from board members?
Just one comment. I think it's important for the public to know that legal services is going to cost this organization $10,000. And the revenue for that, those legal services are going to come right out of the taxpayer's pocket. Okay, so if we didn't have a legal services, if we didn't have a lawsuit that was pending against this organization, it would not cost the taxpayers that extra $10,000. So I just wanted to get that on the record.
Yeah, these legal services, that $10,000 is kind of for Valerie attending meetings and things like that. And that's part of the reason why we being really cost conscious of her attendance at meetings in the future. And on the previous page, when we identified legal services, that's where that the county has contributed for this department would really cover Valerie's costs associated probably with the long-term financing component, because that, as you know, that whatever ends up being the long-term financing will need some legal review and input. So
regardless, but regardless,
yes,
we do have a lawsuit against us, Exarang, and any legal services that we hire is going to come right out of the taxpayer's dollar.
At this point, unless we have some financing, but that won't be available.
Well, regardless of whether it's...
Yes, true.
It's going to come out of fees to our members or out of the taxpayer's pocket.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And to elaborate on that point, in the budget that we have, there is, as you explained, we have the legal services for our ongoing. We don't have litigation budgeted on our line item budget that we're going to approve here. And we have a fund listed at the top. Is the idea that litigation is just going to appear somewhere else? A different fund, or the idea that we will approve litigation payments as they come along?
Essentially, we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it. We did not include the litigation services in the request to the Board of Supervisors, so we're not sure where that funding would come from at this point.
Okay, so we might discuss that at the next meeting. We'll have a reconciliation, so we'll put it, my little expression, put a pin in it for the next meeting.
So far, with the member agency contributions for litigation from last fiscal year, the $8,000 from City of Chico, Butte County, and the $4,000 from Durham Irrigation District will cover the cost of litigation to date of those. So.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, so we have that covered.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's what I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Sorry, that was the piece of the puzzle that was missing for me. So great.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Anything in the future will be outside of that amount.
Right. And that makes sense. Then we should be dealing with that in the future. We're not anticipating future lawsuits, and we're not courting them. So that, this budget makes sense then. Thank you. Great. Are there any comments from, oh, I see we have Supervisor Lucero has her hand up. So recognize Supervisor Lucero for a comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to also get on the record that the lawsuit that Supervisor Kimmelshue referred to is as a direct result of not listening to five of the SHAC members who were quite concerned about the measurable objectives and the measurable threshold, which will take the groundwater level to 100 feet, which the aquifer has never operated at before. And so they're taking it to a different level. And that is why there is a lot of concern in the public. And it is a public resource and people are concerned about this public resource. So again, I wanted to point that out, that as a public resource, the GSA is responsible for overseeing the groundwater. And we recognize that not all of it is within the control of this GSA, that we have other GSAs outside of the area that have very deep wells that have been dug, pumps that are pumping water that are affecting our aquifer. So I just wanted to also get that on the record. Thank you.
And I would just reply, with all due respect to Supervisor Lucero, I don't disagree with what she just said. What I was saying is any funds that are going to pay for legal services are coming out of the taxpayers' pocket.
Tovey, sorry, your last name is abridged on my screen here.
Giesentanner.
Giesentanner.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. I appreciate that. Can you hear me?
You're coming through clearly. Thank you.
Oh, great. Okay. I wasn't planning on speaking, but something Supervisor Lucero there just said made me think, well, I better ask the clarifying question. Is the GSP, is the target to run, I guess, the groundwater levels to 100 feet below? Or I didn't realize that was the target for the GSP. I think that's a pretty bold statement, frankly. I've never heard that before. Groundwater levels are not at that place now. And so I just wanted to make sure that that's an accurate statement. And I thought maybe staff could respond, or somebody, if that's either the goal or if that's happening today, or kind of where that 100 foot comes from. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for asking. That is obviously a complex question, but I will let Christina Buck, who doesn't like to be called Dr. Buck, but she actually is Dr. Buck, give the answer she can give. Thank you.
Hi, yeah, Christina Buck with the Department of Water and Resource Conservation. The measurable objective, that two things are defined in the GSP. The measurable objective, that's our objective, that's the target. And then the minimum threshold, and that's where we've defined that significant and unreasonable results occur. And the space between is termed the margin of operational flexibility. So the target is the higher level, the measurable objective, but conceivably you could operate in the space between those two. Certainly over the long term of the implementation of the plan, we have interim milestones, which are set every 5 years, and they're in the realm of the measurable objective. So that really is outlined in the plan as being where we're targeting to operate the basin to.
Great. Okay. Thank you for the response.
Does that answer your question, Tovey?
Well, if the measurable objective, if the minimum threshold is 100 feet, then yes. If it's not, then I don't know where the 100 foot number came from. I guess that's my question.
Yeah, so the minimum threshold, it varies by well, but 100 feet is a reasonable estimate on most wells. I think it varies from 80 feet in some cases to maybe there's a well that has 100 foot. So yeah, that's the minimum threshold.
Okay, well then that's helpful. And that's not what we're trying to operate the basin under. Okay, all right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And I'm personally going to defer any making any comments substantively on the plan until litigation is complete, simply because we are in the process of litigation. And that's the uncomfortable situation that, that litigation places one in. So that's my comment about in response to it, which is why I referred to Dr. Buck. And regardless of what my opinion may be about the merits of the plan, that's where I'm sitting. So just as a clarification on that. So we have, we've answered questions about our budget and a little bit beyond. Do any of the board members have any further questions about this item, or would we like to entertain a motion?
I would move approval of the budget.
Okay, we have a motion from Director Kimmelshue. Is there a second?
Jeff Royer seconds.
Perfect. Linda, at your ready, we will do a roll call vote.
Certainly. Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
And Chair Tosinski?
Aye.
Thank you.
That passes 4-0. Item 6.3, update on the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act implementation grant application process. And this will be informational only from Christina Buck.
Great, yeah, good evening. Thank you, Christina Buck with Butte County Department of Water and Resource Conservation. This is really just an introduction to the topic. There's a lot of work to do as we have now shifted into implementation phase of the GSP. And there is an opportunity for the state to help pay for that work. So this is it. This is the Sustainable Groundwater Program Grant Program. Can you go ahead and pull up? Okay. Thank you. Sustainable Groundwater Management Grant Program. There have been two rounds. And when it's working, go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Two rounds. We're anticipating the second round, which is what we can apply for funds under. As you might imagine, the Department of Water Resources is administering this grant program, and there are now final proposal solicitation package and guidelines that are available that describe eligibility of projects and the details. I'm just going to give you the nuts and bolts, but all the details are there, and those are online. In round one, that money was for critically overdrafted basins, and they had a different process than what we need to go through and is anticipated for round two. So those basins were awarded about $150 million and have projects. And so we can learn from kind of what they've put forward and maybe take advantage of some of their scopes of work and budgets, estimates, and things like that. But they did not operate under kind of a traditional competitive grant program. So that's just something that's good to keep in mind. For round two, which is what we anticipate coming up, it's expected to open, well, the website now says it will open in October of 2022. The deadline is uncertain. Part of the uncertainty is because this grant program is gonna draw funds from several different pots of money, Prop 68, but also some of just the state budget. And those discussions are still ongoing and haven't been resolved yet. So that's partly where some of that uncertainty and delay is coming from. But regardless, the grant awards, according to the PSP that's online right now, is a minimum of $1 million per basin and up to $20 million per basin is what we can apply for. We have to put in only one application for each sub-basin. And according to the PSP, we can reimburse expenses that have already been incurred back to December of 2021. So we can keep that in mind even as we anticipate preparing this year's annual report. We could maybe recoup the cost of that through this grant program. So if we submit the grant by the end of this year, they're expecting, this is the timeline that's online right now, subject to change. They would have a final awards list in summer of 2023 and agreements in place in fall or late 2023. So it's, you know, feels a long ways out, but that gives us a little bit of time this fall to figure out what projects to go after funding for. Next slide, please. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit about today and just introduce our anticipated process for how we're going to come up with that list of projects for the grant application. Today, just introducing the topic, like I mentioned, I encouraged the SHAC at their last meeting to do a little homework and revisit the projects and management action section of the GSP, as well as the implementation chapter together. It's only about 30 pages, I think, so it's not too daunting, but to just remind ourselves what projects we put in the GSP. And we'll look at that in a minute. And then just kind of looking forward, we're proposing to take this in a two-step process. So there's a lot more projects in the GSP than we can apply for funding for at this time. So first going through and getting input from the SHAC and then ultimately the boards on what projects to further develop scopes of work for, schedules and budgets for. Many of these projects, as you know, aren't developed that far out with that much detail. So it's a little bit like if you participated or observed the ARPA process, it's a little bit like that. First, let's just talk about which projects to further develop and bring back with more information. So that's what we're gonna do with the SHAC in July and hopefully get a recommendation from them on that. And then we're proposing to have a joint GSA board meeting with Rock Creek Reclamation District and the Vina GSA board to discuss and get a recommendation on what projects to further develop for future consideration. So with that list, then we can get to work on kind of working out the details of what those projects would be. We can get a consultant on board to help with that. And that's in the budget work plan that Cami talked about through our department, and work with working groups of the SHAC to develop some of those projects like interbasin coordination and some of the data gap things that have broad public interest. Work with the technical advisory committee through the county as well when appropriate, and use a facilitated, we're looking to bring on a facilitator to help with that public process as well. So that could happen over the course of a couple of months to really develop those projects. Once we have the developed projects, then we can go to the SHAC in, I think I said October, to have them provide a recommendation, hopefully on the list of projects to include in the application, and then a joint meeting of the GSA boards again, either in October or November, to give direction on what would be included in the application. And then staff will go to work to complete that application and get it submitted by the deadline, whenever that ends up being exactly. So that's the proposed process. Maybe I'll just pause there and see if board members have any questions.
So this grant process is just for projects. It's not for operational needs of the GSAs.
So good question. It can also include things like annual reports, the five-year update. So it's a combination of planning and kind of implementation projects. But not administration. We can't just kind of ongoing work. Mm-hmm. Business of the GSA is not eligible, we believe.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions from board members? Hearing none, are there any public comments? I'm seeing no hands. I'm sorry, go ahead, Christina.
Sorry, well, go ahead.
No, I don't see any. Oh, I'm sorry. Supervisor Lucero has her hand up.
I'm gonna talk a little bit about the table that was in the packet as well. So let's
see. Okay, oh, great. Supervisor Lucero, would you like to wait to hear about the table, or is your comment about something right now that's already been discussed?
It's just about what's been discussed. I just had a question as to a clarifying question on, it said $1 million per sub-basin. Does that mean all three sub-basins in Butte County are eligible for at least $1 million? So that would include the Butte and Wyandotte sub-basins?
That's correct. Yeah, so each sub-basin will go through some sort of similar process and submit, we anticipate, their own application.
And so I was just wondering if there was any discussion of doing any kind of joint project, or if this money, if there is any criteria from the state for brownie points for collaborations, for instance, across the river, with another, does it include that type of thing?
Yeah, so we're just beginning to think along those lines. We certainly, anticipate some of the data gaps related to stream depletion. All of our plans in the region are probably gonna need to take a look at that. and make some updates. And so there is interest, I think, in collaborating on that, not only, you know, potentially between the three sub-basins in Butte County, but also across the river potentially. And so Tanya Carlone, who facilitated much of the GSP development here in the Vina sub-basin, but also in neighboring sub-basins, has a task for interbasin coordination continued in her FSS for the Butte sub-basin. And so we've introduced the idea to her to help facilitate potentially the end result being a project that is included in multiple sub-basins applications. So that's in the early stages, but you'll hear more about that if it kind of...
Yeah, I just was curious if it was being discussed, because it would seem like it's now is the time to discuss it. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Thank you for the question. And Christina, I'm sorry to have cut you off. I missed the cue.
No, that's okay. No, I paused.
Please continue.
So then just finally, can you go ahead and switch over to the table, please? And this table was included with the shack materials as well. So I just wanted to introduce it to you all to what I did was went through this, just copied over the table of projects and management action or projects that are in the GSP. And then also added in the management actions that are specified and described, as well as going through the implementation chapter and pulled out any activities that basically the GSA or the GSP says that the GSAs are going to do. And so that's captured in this table. And so now we're doing a little bit of sorting on our end to see, to pull out anything that we think is ineligible for this grant application, grant opportunity. We'll pull that off the list. I'm also doing some follow up with specific project proponents to check in with them and see, would you be ready and willing to run your project if this funding was awarded to you? And so we'll go from there. But as you can see, there's sorted gray projects up on the top are things that at this point staff is recommending that we at least develop more information for. And these include things that really the GSP says that the GSAs will do, things like the data management system, the monitoring, the annual reporting, the five-year updates. We anticipate that there may be a need to respond and make updates to the plan in response to DWR review and comments. That's a possibility. Interbasin coordination that was outlined in the implementation chapter of some things that the GSAs intended to do. So those are kind of sorted to the top in this gray section. Again, we would intend to just develop out the scopes, budget, and schedules for those projects further, and they would move on to kind of the next phase of discussion. And then the white projects are those that really need more discussion in terms of, is this something that we should spend time further developing? So that's what this table is about. My intent is to kind of send a survey to the SHAC members ahead of the SHAC meeting to just get an idea out the gate on whether these, you know, for each of these projects in white, whether it's something we should think about pursuing or not. And if there's some common ground, we can throw those out or keep them in and then have more discussion around the ones that need more discussion. So the next SHAC meeting should be a good one working through some of these details. So with that, that's the end of my presentation.
Great, thank you. Any questions from board members on this addenda to the conversation? I have one. Forgive me for not going back and cross-referencing to the GSP, but does this 32-point list identically match what we put in the GSP, or are there any variations to that?
Yeah, I think there are a couple that I already pulled off the list as kind of ineligible or not applicable to this funding opportunity. For example, we had a management action was general plan updates. So that's not something that needs funding at this time. So I'll have a second list just so that there is kind of a complete list, but mostly it's all here. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. I'll just because we did add another little conversation here, is there any other supplemental public comment? I am seeing none. So in the speak now and forever hold your peace, we will end this item. And it was informational only, so we will move on to item 7, communication and reports. It's listed as 8.1, but it's 7.1. It's okay, we appreciate our staff with the hard work that they do. 7.1, Rock Creek Reclamation District Groundwater Sustainability Agency updates. That, I believe, is Cammie.
Thank you, Chair Tuchinski. I actually don't have any updates with Rock Creek Reclamation District. Nothing. So nothing more than what we presented last time, probably. I do know that they are moving forward with their Sand Creek project, and whatever we shared last time is pretty much status quo.
Fantastic.
And then with regard to DWR Facilitation Support Services, Christina mentioned this, and we talked about it last time, that staff will be submitting an application for Facilitation Support Services to help us with the SGMA grant process moving forward. And it will just, essentially, it's having someone herd the cats, work with the different kind of sub. We're looking to perhaps there might be subgroups within the SHAC and other potential stakeholders to help further develop the projects. And so we'll be using Facilitation Support Services for those activities. And that's it.
Great. So with that, we will adjourn.
With the board's pleasure. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
If permissible, I would like to go back and change my vote on 2.1, the item I had removed from consent agenda, to yes. After reading through that, I think it could have been construed that I didn't want public comment. So I want everyone to know that I welcome all the public comment we could possibly have. What I was looking towards and what I will pursue at the next meeting is more of a hybrid style that we talked about earlier, about board members being here or their alternates, but the public should and are welcome to and are encouraged to weigh in on issues for this this board and this commission virtually. That's it. So I would, if that's permissible, to change my vote.
Certainly, I don't think we need to hold a new vote on that. I think it's fine just to change your vote. Okay. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate that. So with that, we will adjourn to the immediately mentioned next meeting, and that will be held here on August 10th at 5:30 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for your participation.
Thank you.